Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Permaculture Central Blog Talk Radio Show. This is Tall Paul coming to you live from Kapalua, Maui. And I have Joey D'Elia on the line. How are you, Joey?
I'm doing good, coming live from San Marcos, California. While you're vacationing in Hawaii, we're diligently working here on the farm, at Tipuana Farm, while you are just lazing about at the beach. Well, except for last night.
I would hardly call what I'm doing relaxing. I was up till 3:35 this morning working on one of Joey's websites, which you all should go visit. It's evokehope.org. Listen, Joey, you know, you think I'm doing nothing. But literally, up till 3:35 in the morning, getting the new look and feel up and ready, and it's all set for everyone to go and visit. And we have a lot of exciting news to share, don't we?
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. The website's just the beginning.
How about sharing with us the cream of the crop, the best news of all?
Oh, gosh, which that my wife still loves me after 11 years of marriage?
Oh, I need an affidavit on that one.
Hey.
Well, she is a saint for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's talk about permaculture. I think that it's important to mention again in case people have not heard, but Tipuana Farm is no longer Tipuana Farm. It is now Permaculture Research Institute Tipuana Farm. So it's a PRI master plan site, the very first in the United States. There's only about 10 worldwide. So this is a significant announcement for the United States and for you, Joey, because you are the founder and owner of Tipuana Farm. And I want to congratulate you on all the hard work that you've done to get to that stage and step. It's significant, and I'm very proud of you.
Thank you very much. We're very excited. It's definitely is just getting more and more fun as we go along.
Well, and it was definitely a process to get to that step, and you know, now you're official, and so now we can start having more events. We've always had lots of events, but we're going to start having significant events, which are going to help change a lot of people's lives. And the one that's coming up in March, we might as well talk about it now, is a PDC, a Permaculture Design Certification course. And if you go to evokehope.org, you can get more information about that. It's going to be March 18th through the 29th in 2014. And we have a co-promotion. So if you sign up for the PDC, you can get a discount on the Permaculture Voices Conference, which is going to be held before the PDC, and the dates of that are March 13th through the 16th, 2014, and you can save quite a bit of money. So if you buy a PDC course through PRI Tipuana Farm, you can also purchase a Permaculture Voices Conference ticket for $695. And that Permaculture Voices is going to be incredible. So Jeff Lawton and huge other cutting-edge speakers are going to be there. And I just think if you are into permaculture or you want to be into permaculture, this is an awesome way to get your feet wet, jump in, running to, you know, learn a lot of great information and to get started right in 2014. What do you think about that, Joey?
Oh, I think it's great. Are you going to come back from Hawaii by then?
Well, yes.
Oh, good.
I will. I'll be there. And I know you miss me, but I definitely miss you guys, too. It is very nice here, but it is not San Marcos. And speaking of San Marcos, there's a lot more going on there as well. So Evoke Hope, and I'm going to do a lot of talking right now. We'll let you talk later. Evoke Hope is the nonprofit organization which is running all of the operations for Tipiwana Farm, the PRI Institute Tipiwana Farm. And so this evokehope.org, we started not too long ago, I think back in June or so, and just about a month ago we had a great event called the Creative Healing at Fall Fun Festival. And there was a great turnout. It was in Vista, California, which is a neighboring city to San Marcos. And Joey and a bunch of other friends were out there. So tell us about that, Joey, and how it was received by the community.
Well, it was received very well. We set up, so this was our first, Evoke Hope's first, like, on the ground, set up a booth, put up the banners, which we got those all done and set up, like, present Evoke Hope, with the awning and the table and things to pass out, interested people could talk about it and tell them different things. We even set up a sun oven, and we baked potatoes there, and people were very interested in that, and we were able to talk about permaculture. We both we like to talk about permaculture and food forest stuff. There was all sorts of people coming by, signing our email list to know about the different things that we were going to be doing in the future and to be notified about that stuff. I had talked to two high school teachers who asked if I could come talk to their classes in a neighboring city of Oceanside. That was fun. And then we also did two lectures during that day about permaculture in like part of the classroom area, because the event Fall Festival was held at a botanical gardens in Vista, Alta Vista Gardens, and so that was a really cool setting to have all these different species. Plants around everywhere, and being able to talk about gardening and permaculture, different ways of rainwater harvesting. So that kind of stuff was really fun, and everybody was happy. This one lady that helped organize it, that's in our Permaculture San Marcos group, worried, but very concerned about everything going well and is it all going to work out good and everything. She was so happy the whole day. Usually she wants to come and check and see what's going on and is this going right or this. Everything must have been going so right because she was just happy the whole day. And all she said is that on all ends it went terrific. And so we had a really good time. People were super interested in what we were doing and what Evoke Hope's going to be, what we are doing, what we're going to be doing. Just tons of families wanting to get ready for we're doing a Farmer for a Weekend and Farmer for a Day programs and getting ready for those things. So it was really neat and it was a fun day. Could have been longer. So short.
Yeah, I know. I heard it just like, you blinked and it was over. And I know that everyone that attended really enjoyed it, and I've had lots of great feedback. And so it's very exciting to be involved with the community. And I've also heard that recently you guys had another farm tour. Evoke Hope put it on at PRI Tipiwana Farm. And that was another, 30 people came. It was another big event.
Yeah, that was intense. It was more people than we've ever had here before for a farm tour. And the line, so I'm talking to everybody, and our farm's 2.5 acres, so it's not like this, we have these giant fields of whatever. Everything's really polyculture and integrated, and, there's pathways here and there, and there's trees all around and stuff, so, and different demonstrations of all sorts of different things, composting, gardening methods, chicken area method, whatever, how are you going to keep your chickens and stuff. So I'm looking down to try to project my voice, and I'm looking down before I start talking about one thing, I'm looking down to see if everybody's come out of this other section and the line was so long and it, but everybody was into it. I took them, we did a big tour, so we went pretty much around the property all the way, making it back kind of in a circle and talking, and everybody was really, really focused and very into what we're doing and what we're trying to share, and it was a really...
We might have to get you a megaphone.
Oh, gosh, well...
Or a blowhorn or something.
Well, I already think I blast out the people that were in the front. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to be yelling or talking very loudly right to these people in the front, but they were okay with that, and everything went well as far as everybody being able to hear. I'd ask, you know, see if everybody could hear what I was saying, and everybody could, but definitely maybe we just need a little, like... I don't know what, but we'll figure that one out later. But it was fun, so that was a good time for everybody.
And the other thing that we found is that, you know, we've had these several, each month we have one of these farm tours, and people keep coming back, and they ask the question, well, if I come, will it be the same tour? And the truth is, if you came every day, you would get a different tour, because there's so much going on at Tipiwana Farm that there's always something new to see. Wouldn't you characterize that as a true statement?
Oh, yeah, because look at this. I mean, we just went and picked up a beehive, like got a beehive from somebody who was selling their house and they didn't want the beehive anymore. So we went and picked up that beehive the other night, set that up. That's new. Hooked up new rainwater tanks today. Worked on the composting toilet area today. Then I worked on the tractor. We're redoing the road. Oh, yeah, there's a new swale that we hand dug, and it's like 3 feet deep, or no, 3 feet wide, and it's like 2 feet deep now, I think. So it's got a good capacity for holding water, and that's going to take all of that. So that's new, and that's still being fine-tuned. We've been siding I got a transit off of Craigslist or a dumpy level transit to find contours, and we've just been all over the property, like marking out contours and just got a giant load of mulch today. Oh, and then we got trees coming in tomorrow. They're delivering some trees that I went to this nursery, and they were having a big sale and bought some big trees that were really very good. Oh, the dogs are going crazy. A really good price, and so we're gonna... I don't even know what to tell you now. I'm getting too excited because we dug these holes already for these big trees that we were planning on buying one day. Well, it just happens that those trees are coming sooner than we thought because I found them. These giant, they're called Japanese pagoda, or I forgot the botanical name, but Japora. So they're going to be big, and they're going to go down by the entrance. So what we did is we dug these big holes. Matt dug these big holes for the trees to go in eventually. But what we did is where the driveway, it's a dirt road driveway, and it kind of veers down to this one area where we're going to plant the trees. Well, we made some like channels kind of so that the water would come off of the driveway and into these holes that we're going to plant the trees in. But then we put like horse manure and mulch and leaf mold and all sorts of different stuff inside the holes, and we're just letting it sit for the whole winter in there, and the rainwater will mix in with it, and it'll kind of like the hole will, what do you want to call it, marinate or get seasoned. We'll season the hole with all sorts of organic matter in there, and then when these trees, we'll have them up in this other area, like just nursing them before we go and plant them in those holes in the spring. So anyway, that's new. There's there's always, I could think of more things. But,
and I think you mentioned last week you guys were digging, I forget the term you use, but you drill a hole and you put compost and fertilizer down into the holes. Tell us about that.
Well, that's a whole other thing too. We've been going around right now, because it started raining here down in San Diego, so our rainy season has started, and we've we started going around to all the fruit trees and doing a thing called vertical mulching. So it's something I use in my arboricultural trade where if I'm taking trees and I want to vitalize them kind of quickly, we'll drill auger holes in around the tree, not right next to the trunk, probably like anywhere from about 12 inches, 6 inches away, depending on how old the tree is. If it's a really old or much older tree, like 15 or 10 years, then we'll go out to the drip line and auger these holes. But what you do is you can take compacted soils and soils that don't have maybe a lot of organic matter in them because they've been kind of beat up, and you can get your auger bit to drill this hole maybe anywhere from an inch in diameter to like maybe 3 inches in diameter, depending on the soil, depending on if you can drill in there. And you'll auger down in there, and then we've been making so much compost now. We've just been really on it, making compost, screening it, doing these different things. So what we'll do is we'll take that compost and we'll put that into the holes around the tree, and then just cover it back over with whatever dirt's left around the hole and mulch and stuff, and just let that be like almost like feeding tubes for the roots. The roots will find those areas, and they do because I've done like kind of my own little research, not really much research, but I didn't write anything down. But you can come back and you can see the roots eventually go into those vertical holes, if you want to say, that are filled with compost, and a lot of air can get in there and water. Like those will definitely get some water in them during the rainy season. So they're you can call them compost corridors if you want, but they're fun to do, and you can keep doing them over the years, and they'll change the organic matter in the soil fairly quickly. So yeah, that's what we were doing. We did that. I think almost all the fruit trees around. Maybe all of them around.
Cool.
The property.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, like in California, it's we do things differently than in other states because we don't even think about. Because in other states, I would imagine a lot of the trees are already going dormant, and ours really don't go dormant really until December, sometimes even January, and that's when we would prune our trees and things. So for those of you who are already in a dormant season, you might not, well, you're probably too cold to even think about going outside. But,
yeah, we've got figs ripening up still on some of our trees. I mean, all of our peaches and the apricots, and most of all of them still have leaves on them. Some of them are still growing, and then we have all our citrus trees are wanting to be fed, and everything's making, you know, putting up its stores. Even our deciduous trees are still going, because today it was like 75 degrees or something today. It was warm. Yesterday was
warm. And I'm literally sitting here. I'm sitting here and I am sweating in Maui. I'm sorry to bring it up, but, you know. So, you know, depending upon where you live, there's different things you can do. But let's get back to the different events and things that are going on. And I know yesterday in San Marcos, we've talked before about this, our Permaculture San Marcos group, which is another nonprofit group that partners with Evoke Hope. We're working with the city of San Marcos on a project to potentially put in a permaculture food forest and community garden within one of the local city-owned properties. And one of the sites that was identified is a place called Jack's Pond. And yesterday was an important meeting that Joey had with the San Marcos Youth Commission. So tell us how that went.
Well, that went fantastic. So as long as this all goes forward, and everybody now, since we had the meeting, the people that are really involved are fully supporting it. They've seen where the garden would be, what the whole place looks like, what Jack's Pond looks like, what the amenities are, all the different kinds of things. They got to ask me questions. about it, this youth commission, which is a group of kids that that are practicing to be, I guess you could say, politicians in a way. They're our community service representatives. They're definitely looking to do something in the community that can be of a lasting benefit to the city of San Marcos and its residents. So they had talked about wanting to do a community garden or some type of garden project, and and they had talked about, which I found out at this meeting, was that they would want to do some art kind of things within as part of one of their projects too, and now we're looking to incorporate some type of art, not sure what that's going to be yet, into this community garden project. And they didn't know anything about permaculture before they met us, Tall Paul and I, and Permaculture San Marcos. So we've been, you know, educating them about permaculture and some water harvesting techniques, most importantly, too, for them, was the aspect of putting the food forest in. So they were just thinking about a community garden. But what we would do now is they've been working on this food forest idea that we've showed them. So they're trying to wrap their heads around that and see what would happen. What we got going is, let's say, this would be the first, well, in San Marcos, it's going to be the first, like, permaculture kind of demonstration on public property. So that's really exciting. They don't know how exciting that is yet, but I'm going to help them. I've been, when we had the meeting yesterday, I was talking to them about how many goals or how many neat things that this project could accomplish. Rainwater harvesting, polyculture fruit tree systems with other kind of tree canopy systems, how you can put community garden space within those different areas, that this vacant piece of land has been there for like 2 or 3 years just sitting there, which is and what's interesting about it, the topography and the way everything drains, is this whole dirt area just drains tons of water off of it and takes tons of top silt with it, and it just goes right off into this riparian environment where this creek goes, where it feeds this natural pond, and you could totally, you know, stop that runoff from going on, harvest that in the swale, put up your food forest system, have your community garden space. You can, within this park setting, which has a nature center, which has microscopes, so you can teach about composting and even look under some microscopes to show about the different bacteria and protozoa that are going on in there. There's a whole barn area there where they have the nature center below it, and then on top of it during the summers they have summer camp there every day for kids, so that all these children can be totally exposed to like a food forest and community garden stuff, and you know, have this experience in this place where nothing was going on. They can create this amazing vision, and they were all very excited, and they were really nice kids too. They all said thank you for helping them like come up with the project and have, you know, and what they could do to enact their vision basically. And it's gonna be, and they're already one of the funnest parts of it is that the city directors, and especially the one that's in charge of the parks, was there. And anytime some of the director of the youth commission would say, well, what are we going to do about do we need volunteers, or what about this, or something like that, the city director was just, he's just so supportive of the project that he's just like, oh, there's no problem. That'll be taken care of. If we need machines, they're going to do anything, the city's going to provide them. If there's certain trees that the city has. The city has a tree bank of trees, so they're totally into supporting the project with trees. The whole place has a it's on well water. So, and I was pointing, and while I'm talking to all of you out there too, and talking about these different points, these are the points that the kids were listening to, that are going to be making these decisions to go for, you know, they're making, you know, having to listen to all this dialogue and you know, feel secure in making this decision, because they're not just making it with no money behind it. They actually have money to put.
Yeah, let's talk
project.
A little bit more about that. Just to clarify, is that these children, they're, most of them are high school age, but you can be a sixth grader up to the age of 21, and you're appointed to a three-year term. They are literally commissioners of a city. They have voting power. They can make decisions, and their job is to advise the city council on issues relating to youth issues. So it's more than just a bunch of kids. These are literally people that are very active in the community, and they care. And what's so neat is that the city of San Marcos is 100% behind what it is they want to do. And so together, not only is the city proven to be over and beyond my expectations of being cooperative and supportive, and they really want to provide these services for the community, and then they also want to support the Youth Commission and bring us in as Evoke Hope and Permaculture San Marcos. So it's like a dream come true, basically. Wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I think it's, I didn't even dream that it could go like that. It's just totally, it's basically a dream come true, and it's on fast track. Yeah, it's on super fast track. Like, it's on so fast track now that they said, well, can you give us, like a time frame of when the project might be done? And we don't even have drawings. We don't have, like, anything. It's just good, I think, that I've, from my job, where, you know, what I've worked and I've seen, you know, done lots of projects and some installations, or, you know, and just been witness to some big installations from different companies, that I could actually give them some type of honest estimate. But, you know, there's no drawings, there's nothing, but I felt confident because of the city so supportive, and that the city, you know, the director of the parks, who actually controls a lot of what goes on at the parks, was there. And so I was looking at him when I was kind of saying, well, I think if we get the design done, and I'm not gonna think about like the city approval process in the sense of like all the bureaucracy, just that if we get the design finalized by January and really good, then by the end of the summer, we should have the project, you know, basically completed. And so they were very excited about that, but that was really put me on the spot. I wasn't expecting them to ask me, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But the city director guy, the parks guy, he was just like, he's confident. He was into it, and he's just saying we have tons of volunteer people power. There's not going to be a problem with that. The only problem that I was telling him that there could be the issue is the issue with the way where we want to harvest this water. So there's these two drains that drain onto the highest point of the property, and they just dump out of this area and just flow, just run right down the hill. So we want to put a swale up there at the highest point, you know, basically along the highest contour at the highest boundary. So there's this contour there that we could put in and harvest all that water. And as long as they don't, like the engineering department doesn't think that that's, you know, too wild, as long as we can. So what we have to do is they have to get these numbers together from the engineering department that talks about the hydrology of the area and how much water could potentially come out of those drains, and that whatever we do, you know, up there will be okay. But I just can't see how it would be any worse. Just even if the swale just drained off one in, you know, and into this other creek area.
Well, the other thing is that in the city they already have bioswales, so they know the concept, and I think that they would agree that the existing system has all this erosion, and then if you put in a swale, that would just stop and slow down any, you know, existing hazards. So I don't think it's going to be a problem. Do you?
Well, yeah. Well, bioswales aren't level on contour, you know, so I can see, but they like those bioswales to drain. And those bioswales sometimes have, like, actual, what do you want to say? They actually have grates or pipes in them that if they fill up so much, they go down this drain and stuff. So it'll be a great thing to see, you know, and work with the city. And ideally, when you go through these processes, you start actually educating. But I've also heard through one of my friends, that somebody already at the city of San Marcos is into permaculture, and she's in charge of the water quality. She does the water quality work for the different, different runoff areas in San Marcos, and she's already into permaculture. So that was a little inside information, and so that's helpful to have we already have allies within the structure. So, yeah. But that's, yeah, it's a great thing.
So other good things that are happening with Evoke Hope is that, you know, through our farm tours, we have a lot of exposure through different communities. People literally drive from neighboring counties over an hour away to get to our location to see what we're doing. And one of our permaculture friends that comes from a city called Solana Beach asked if Evoke Hope would be interested in working with her church. They have something called a creation team. And so the church has this team that is interested in volunteerism, caring for the earth. They're very interested in local food production. And part of their church is they have something called an alternative Christmas, where they invite local nonprofits and groups that are working in the local food movement to come, and rather than people buying gifts, Christmas gifts, and spending money on stuff that people don't need, they're suggesting that people donate to local organizations like Evoke Hope. And so the pastor came to Tipuana Farm to see what we're doing, and Joey, was it last week you had a meeting with the creation team, and tell us what happened there.
Well, I met with the nice ladies of the creation team, and we basically talked to the more of the members of the team about Evoke Hope and the farm here, and what kind of things we could provide for them for their alternative Christmas, in the sense of, like, for their congregation, like what we're doing and what kind of things that the different people can be involved in, and the things that we offer as a nonprofit. And the thing that was interesting too is they had a lot of ideas about future events, and that they have this they do a thing where they have these volunteer work days, where on Sundays they'll just, their congregation and other Presbyterian congregations will go out and do actual volunteer work And so this, the creation care team likes to try to do things that are involved with the, with like, you know, with nature, whether it's cleaning up trash or building trails or working on different farms. So they were talking about coming up with some projects and things that people could do here and work at PRI Tipawana Farm. So they were, we were coming up with some work days like that. They had even, I guess, talking to her and the others in the group, they had already gone to, I guess for the past 2 years, they have gone to our friends Alden Sky Mountain Institute and volunteered to work there a couple different times. So that could be fun, you know, just getting more people on the farm here for doing some fun permaculture projects. So that was a neat thing that got talked about, and you know, just the opportunity that came up where they want me to not just do the alternative Christmas now. Now they, this Sunday, I'm supposed to go talk between each. They have two services, and so I'm supposed to go talk between or at two different times. Like give some 2 15-minute or something presentations about Evoke Hope and about what we're doing to interested peoples that would be at the service on Sunday. I guess they're going to set up a little area. This is the head pastor's idea. He wants to have me talk and see and let people know what we're doing. He started to get really interested in local, like the local food movement and how to localize our, you know, start, how can we get more local food growing and get people interested in those kinds of things. So hopefully I'll be able to provide people with some information about that and some inspiration. And so, yeah, that was it. That's where that's heading. And so it's looking pretty promising. And we'll see, and it'll be interesting to see on Sunday how well, you know, when you start working with people, this is their idea, and they want us to be a part of it, so they're setting everything up to, you know, have the people there, and, you know, just to talk about, you know, they're going to have everybody set up and have a, see what goes on with, I guess you could say, I just go into it, I don't ask them any questions, really. They want me to come, I just come. If there's nobody there, if there's 10 people there, I'm not concerned. I'm just going to show up. And so it's always interesting to see what they do with that. Like, how much time do they put into actually seeing if there's going to be people there to listen. You know, and I like it because I don't know. And so it's kind of like this mysterious thing. I don't know how many people are going to be there to hear us. So I like it. It's kind of exciting.
It's very exciting. And we've been talking for 40 minutes. And think of how many events and things that you've been talking about, you and I, and we're all involved in. We're very active in the community and on the farm. And, you know, there's a lot of people listening out there who used to be just like me or who are just like I used to be, where, you know, I would listen to things on the radio or on the web or, you know, I was not doing a lot. I was reading a lot or sitting down a lot, which I still do, but the point is that if you're at home lonely or you're thinking about doing something but you don't know what to do, there are plenty of things that you can get involved in your community. There's a website called meetup.com. You type in permaculture or gardening or sustainability. There are plenty of groups out there that can help you get involved, even if you're brand new. It is a incredible way to have a new life, a fun and exciting life. And we're not even done with the list of things that we're going to talk about. I mean, if you think, wow, Joey does a lot, you don't know the half of it. So the next thing we're going to talk about is this coming weekend is a huge event for San Diego. It's called the 2013 Fall San Diego Permaculture Convergence. And there's going to be over 20 local permaculture teachers and people who are involved with permaculture who are going to give presentations and lectures and hands-on demonstrations at Sky Mountain Institute in Escondido. And Joey is giving two different presentations. One's hands-on and one is to talk about food forests. So, Joey, tell us about Sky Mountain Institute and the convergence and what you think is going to happen this weekend and why people should go if they have the ability to get there this weekend.
Oh, well, Sky Mountain Institute is our friend Alden Huff's property, and it's about 7.5 acres. It's one of its west border is actually a perennial creek. I think it's called Escondido Creek. The property is, I think, west-facing hillside, so they're trying to put together, they've been wanting to do some earthworks together and been working on doing some different demonstration gardens there. They did a Southern California permaculture convergence last, and so now they want to do this follow-up San Diego permaculture convergence there where they're really focusing on earthworks, major ones and minor ones for smaller homes, and bringing in just local teachers, permaculture teachers there. So it's there's a little ambitious earthworks going on, so it'll be interesting, and that's one reason if people are really into like doing some different pond swale systems on minor scale, it's going to be that. There's going to be major swale systems being put in, and then we have a. They're doing all sorts of different things. There's soils classes. There's goat, like about raising goats and taking care of goats. There's chickens. There's a host of different workshops, like hands-on workshops. And there's what I'm going to be talking about, which is food forest design and putting together a food forest and how a forest kind of functions and, you know, in a simple way, not too technical, and just really nice stuff about forest systems and seeing if people have questions and you know and ideas that I've thought about and some things that I've practiced about, you know, that you can scale it down or scale it up depending on where you live, what kind of size you have in your backyard, because it's worked really good together doing my arboriculture career and going out pruning trees everywhere and all sorts of sizes of yards over these past 10 years. So now that being, you know, getting much more involved in permaculture in these past 6 years, I can tell people, if you want to put a food forest up in your backyard and it's small, I understand how the trees will grow from, you know, taking care of so many trees for so many years. So it's fun to have those. What I'm trying to get at is, I just like it's fun to have some real answers for people from direct experience that I've had throughout these years. And the one we're gonna be doing, it sounds like I just got an email from Alden from Sky Mountain Institute about the convergence that I'm supposed to. They're breaking up what I'm doing into three sections now. So it sounds like I'll have the lecture about the design and then two hands-on workshops. Like maybe I'm supposed to do a hands-on workshop on one of the earthworks and then do a hands-on workshop on another one of the earthworks. So there's actually the convergence is interesting because it's on Alden's property, but then right next to Alden's property is another homeowner's property that's a much smaller space, a bit more, much smaller. I don't even know if it's an acre. It might be an acre, but much smaller than Alden's, and they're going to be putting in a series of earthworks there. So I think there may be a. I think that's what's going on. I didn't ask very well. Like I said, I just like it's kind of, I enjoy being put on the spot. And so sometimes people ask me, "Well, do you know what you're going to say, or did you get everything ready?" And I said, "Well, get what ready?" Because it's more I got like that excitement. But this time I'm going to have a. I don't know exactly. I think it's two. It's anyway. The point is that it's going to be fun. And if you're really into that hands-on stuff, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for hands-on workshops. And I think not sure about the money, how much it's costing. It's 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. If you can go, it's definitely go. And I think they even have a day rate where you can go, like, one day, you can go on Saturday only, or you can just go on Sunday only. I'll be doing my workshops and stuff on Saturday. And then Sunday, though, I was supposed to stay and kind of help, but then I'm supposed to go to that talk at the Presbyterian Church on Sunday, and then I think I'm supposed to go to give another presentation on Monday. Now, yeah, so somebody just called, and this is fun, too, because this is the water district. So the water districts around here that supply the municipal water to the different cities and different areas are getting really into rainwater harvesting. And they want to give away free rain barrels, 55-gallon rain barrels. Yeah, yeah. And so I'm supposed to go to the water district that takes care of our water, our municipal water here in parts of San Marcos, or most of San Marcos, I think parts of Vista and stuff, and supposed to give a 15-minute presentation on rainwater harvesting to I don't know who. But it's the community outreach from the actual water districts contacted me through one of our friends, Sherry Minnelli, had them contact me. So it's not this Monday, sorry. It's not this coming. It's Monday the 18th. And then I think there's other things I'm supposed to do. There's another high school I'm supposed to go talk to on one of these Tuesdays. Well, anyways, the schedule is building, and there's lots of stuff going on. But, yeah, so the convergence this weekend, if you can make it, you should make it. Definitely try. You'll get a lot of experience.
And to buy a ticket, you need to go to sdpermes.com. So SD as in Diego, Hermes.com, and you do have to buy a ticket in advance because they're concerned about there's going to be a cap to the number of people because of limits for, I think, fire department reasons and things like that. So definitely attend if you can this weekend. You know, it's a great way to learn about permaculture. It's a great way to meet people. And if you've never been to one, it's not going to be your last one. You keep going because it's so much fun, and really it's going to open up a whole new realm for you of discovery and, you know, neat things. And then we've already talked a little bit about coming up in 2014. We've got a lot of great things coming. The first is going to be the Permaculture Voices Conference, which is going to be, the dates of that are March 13th through the 16th. 2014. If you go to permaculturevoices.com, you can find out who all the keynote speakers are and all the mini speakers and find out what courses you're interested in attending. And why that's significant for us is, you know, there's people coming from all over the world to attend, and people who are interested in also having to take a permaculture design certification course, a PDC course, here at PRI Tipuana Farm. We're going to be offering the week after that event a PDC course. And if you pay for both, you get a discount on the Permaculture Voices Conference. So it's really a great opportunity if you are have a way to get here to Southern California. It's a beautiful time of year. And so if you go to evokehope.org, there's information about the PDC course. And, of course, check out permaculturevoices.com. But in order to get ready for that, Joey, what are you going to be doing? You got a whole checklist of things.
Oh, I don't even think – it looks like we got 10 more minutes left. I don't think I have enough time to talk about all the things
that I'm supposed
to do. You
can't get into it, huh?
I couldn't because it'll start me on this – I'll get too excited. Because I don't get scared about projects. I just get really excited because I like to keep myself busy. So these projects, I mean, we've got a shower block to build, another composting toilet facility to build. We've got camping tent platforms to build, picnic tables to build. We've got right now, see, I'm working. There's these two swales we're working on, and we're going to start. And some people that I've got, well, my woofer here, Matt, who does a lot of the, he's been getting excited about hand digging swales, even big ones. So we cut our teeth on this one down here that's getting, that's not, it's no slouch. And then we've got this big one at the highest, contour over at the highest boundary that we can get some water from this main valley area on the back of the property. And so him and another guy are going to start hand digging that tomorrow. And so that's a big thing that's going on because we're going to plant that and have some of those things ready to go for the convergent or for the PDC course. I think and just keep cleaning up because we've only been here 2.5 years and I keep doing a projects and then things change and then I've got stuff left over. People give me stuff. Like when I went and picked up the beehive, they gave me a bunch of stuff to go with that. Now that spilled out of the back of my truck. Yeah. So I just kind of keep organizing things and it's getting really good now. Like we're getting really organized. So it's pretty fun. My wife's happy because my resource piles are getting, more organized. And we've been having a little, interesting thing with the entry area to this main, to our property here is kind of like, I've been focusing, of course, on zone one really heavily, and now into zone two, well, everything's getting kind of, situated pretty well, so now I'm venturing out a little bit further to the entry to the property so it doesn't look so wild, if you want to say that. So we have that going on. So I'm just kind of, dialing things in now, which is something I've been looking forward to. But, that takes – I try not to focus on details too much because you can get lost in the details. So I try to get the mainframe stuff going, like – whether it's the income, whether it's the tree systems, especially the water harvesting systems. That's like one of the first things I put in this main swale, first thing when we moved in. So trying to figure out, what those mainframe concerns are so I don't get lost in all these details. And it's been paying off because now we're getting to some of the detail stuff and I feel like we've got some major stuff taken care of. So that's what we're going to be doing. That's some of the things we're going to be doing before this starts.
The reason why I mention it, Joey, is because I think people listen, and I'm planting a seed. Is that you? Everyone listening, you are invited to PRI Tipawanna Farm. Now you might not come this week. You might not come next month. You might not come next year. But someday we are inviting you to come. We're going to have internships, and it's a process. But the point is there is never, ever a dull moment at Tipawanna Farm. And we have a lot of fun, and we want you to be involved. And you might not be able to ever visit, but you can donate to help us fund some of these projects. You can spread this podcast on Facebook. Share it with your friends so that people can hear what we're doing. we each have a role in permaculture, and we're all leaders in our own way. Joey is totally out there getting, you know, hands-on with the earth and with the trees, and he's excellent with working with people and getting out there in the community. You might not have it as your forte, but we need your help. We're trying to spread the word. If you could share this information on your websites, on Facebook, Twitter, etc., that's a great way to help. But you are invited to come and see it firsthand someday if you ever get to Southern California. I mean, wouldn't you say that would be a vacation of a lifetime? I mean, to come and see everything, it's incredible how much is going on.
Yeah, for sure. We actually had somebody come, and they were camping down at the campgrounds at the beach, and somehow they got information about us, and they came over here. We even had, and somebody came from Arizona already, a whole family. They were camping about an hour away, though, and they drove, because they're into permaculture, they drove up here. They were so nice. I gave them some eggs from the chickens and stuff. I gave them a whole tour, they had like four children, a teenager all the way down to like a grammar school, and they even gave us a donation. They were so nice, and to help do things around here. So, yeah, that was really neat.
You mentioned children, and that's another thing. Is this is not just for adults. We have lots of kids that come to these events, and they have so much fun, and they're getting exposure to, you know, working with the land and how to grow food and how to work and play with, you know, other children, and it's just so neat. And so that's a real big reason why we do this, is not just for the adults, but for our future generations to get exposure to permaculture and, you know, a real holistic way of life. And so it's very exciting what we're doing, and I'm glad, you know, to be part of it, and so grateful to Joey to help me, you know, to let me be part of it as well. Joey, we only have 2 minutes left. Why don't you say whatever you want to say, and then we'll say aloha.
All right. Well, I just want to say that I'm excited, and it's fun to keep doing these things and try, you know, I not get discouraged by some things that are intense, like about, you know, about what's going on in the world and stuff, and staying focused on what kind of changes that I can actually do, you know, and with my hands, and what people want to join in and help, and what things I can learn from the people that are already helping. And I think that's you just got to keep moving forward in those positive ways, and then you'll start to notice that the life changes and your outlook changes, and you keep going for it, and it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference on the people around you and just for your own mind and heart. So that's what I want to say.
Wonderful. And, you know, this is the time of year where you can start thinking about and ordering fruit trees to plant in the next, you know, first part of the coming year. And I talked to our place that we purchased from, and we will be sending them a list of new fruit trees. We're going to be planting more coming up in the new year, and some nut trees. I just need the names, some reminding Joey to send me that list if you still have it. But anyway, they are waiting for us to call them on the order. So that's exciting. And we have permaculturecentral.com, which is a website that I've been working on to expand, actually to get started. And it's coming along. And if you have a permaculture website, or if you're doing anything that's really exciting, you're totally invited to be part of permaculturecentral.com, and we can, you know, have a listing for you. If you want to be on this radio show, come on, give me an email, or, you know, email me, and we'll get you on to hear what interesting things you're doing. So send me an email at, I don't know, wanted to give you. How about, asktallpaul@gmail.com. I have so many. I think I have permaculturecentral@gmail.com. Just find me. and that'll be it. We're very excited to be part of the permaculture community, and we encourage everyone else to get involved and have fun like we are. All right, Joey, we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, aloha, Paul.
Aloha. Bye.
Bye.